Hello and welcome to another episode of the Black Techies Podcast, courtesy of HBCU Digital Network. I am your host, Herbert Seward, along with my faithful colleague and founder of the Black Techies and host emeritus, Packet Stealer, David Matthews. Our other colleague, right on cue. Our other colleague, our Morehouse man on the staff, Mr. Roberto Joseph, aka Beer Grills. Welcome, guys. Welcome.
What up?
Yeah, we had to really take a little hiatus last week. Just for some scheduling things or what have you. But we're back. We're back in the saddle. We got some stuff to talk about. First, it's homecoming week, so if we sound a little bit distracted with football games in the background, as you can see in my television, in the background of the feed, because I'm watching. By the way, for those Jackson State fans that are watching out there, they were talking all that noise about putting a 60-piece on us. I ain't seen no 60-piece fan. What's that about? But yeah, that being said, let's continue with the podcast. How's everybody been doing, man?
Man, just keeping on.
Yeah, man. Can't complain. Just moving and working and moving, man.
everybody got some got them 1,000-yard. Yeah, I got a lot of work to do stairs.
I literally was just thinking about it. I was like, dang, did I finish that thing I was doing?
Bro,
just doing laundry and ran over.
Yeah, for those of us, for those of you guys that watch the podcast or are new to the podcast, the Black Techies are composed of HBCU alumni, graduates, products that are in the IT industry or are very fond of tech. There are two more members that are not on the panel tonight. Leslie Moore, who's getting her blurred stuff on at a convention someplace.
Yeah, she had TwitchCon.
Yeah, she had TwitchCon. We've got a couple of other members that aren't on. Our boy Dominique Bass, aka Blackity Black Man, aka the most militant techie of the five of us. He's at Tennessee State taking in their homecoming. So shout out, man. We'll see you next week. So in the news, man, there's some things on the itinerary that we're going to cover tonight. Outside of homecomings, we're going to be talking about that, particularly, you know, the HBCU homecoming experience. But there are some other things that we need to really tackle first before we get into our itinerary. Where do we start? The Mario Brothers trailer. What did you guys think about that?
So I liked it. So I know there might be varying opinions of this, but I personally liked it. I'm going to reserve judgment for Chris Pratt until we get either a longer trailer or just wait for the movie, because he didn't really speak enough for me to really evaluate his voice. And I think he was doing a slight Brooklyn accent, but or at least some generic New York accent. I think I detected that. But Jack Black was great as Bowser. I don't care what anyone said, Jack Black was great as Bowser. So,
but when is Jack Black not great at stuff, though?
True. Like, you know, true.
Man, look, only thing, I looked at the trailer, man, and the first thing that kind of stuck out to me was the directorial style of the trailer. Like, you know, it was really a big budget type of animated movie type of trailer. And, you know,
like Lego Movie level.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was something like, oh, okay, this is different. I mean, the snowball fight in the beginning of the trailer was pretty funny.
Yeah, that was.
It's like, it was pretty hilarious. You know, just melt, you know, old boy just, okay, yeah, thanks. That's good. And I'll take this. But, you know, I don't know, man. I reserve judgment on things like this, particularly when it comes to replicating storylines and games that we find iconic, you know, and Mario is iconic, you know, for for all of us that grew up in the area of mushrooms and turtles, you know, so yeah, I'll reserve judgment on that until I actually see the finished product. But I mean, it's cool that it's a cool thing to see, you know, but yeah, I mean, other trailers we've been seeing in the last couple of days, you know, Wakanda Forever, we'd be remiss not to mention that, you know, just take my money now for that. You know?
They already have. Like, I already got the ticket. They already got my money.
I'm like, dang, I was going to pre-order and the site crashed when the day it came out. I was like, man,
I'm not even surprised.
Yeah, man.
I know people who've been kind of down on Phase 4 right now on the MCU, but this right here, no.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, no. I feel like we need to have, like, not we need to, but I could literally have a whole episode about people. I'm trying not to curse while I'm trying to formulate my ideas, but about people's disappointment with Phase 4 being completely overblown, because if we think about it, and I think I was arguing with my friend Robbie about this, and Robbie's a pastor, and it was funny, we were having this conversation, and he was like, "Nah, man, Phase 4 is just like, it's terrible. I'm disappointed." And I was like, "You didn't like Ms. Marvel?" He was like, "Well, I didn't finish it." I was like, "Well, what about Moon Knight?" He was like, "I think I fell asleep. I don't know if I watched it." I said, "Well, what about Spider-Man? You had to like that." He was like, "That was Phase 3. I said, "No, that was Phase 4. And he was like, No, I love that movie. I don't really remember if I watched Doctor Strange. I was like, okay, well, do you like it or not, man? Like, did you watch it to say it sucked? Because if we go look at, and people are going to probably go check this, but I can say this off the top of my head. Phase 2 had 6 projects, and 3 of them were trash. Like, Thor 2, Iron Man 3 were 2 of those projects. Phase 4 has 14 projects. 14.
That might be why, though, right? It's the amount of stuff that now you have to watch in order to stay current, right? I think some people don't like the fact that you have to watch the movies and the Disney Plus shows to kind of get the full picture. Mm-hmm. Where before, all you had to do was watch the movie. So I think I think that's partly it. I've seen all of them. I've seen every single MCU project that has come out, and right, and so I would say, like, I wouldn't say all of them were terrible necessarily. Like, I like Ms. Marvel, but that's not, Ms. Marvel isn't really marketed towards my age group. But I still liked it. I still enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. But like, there's some, like, Doctor Strange, I didn't like it as much. I'm just being honest. I didn't like the story aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
And which is fair.
I was in I went to go see with my wife, and we got out, and she was like, "Oh, I liked it." And somebody behind me was like, "Man, that was stupid. I heard that, like, Tom Cruise is supposed to be here as Cyclops or something." And I'm like, "See, like, you can't not like the movie because it didn't do the thing that it was supposed to." Well, that's a whole other subject. Like, but you can't, like, that's like not liking Spider-Man because, I don't know, like, Mary Jane wasn't in it. Or something. You're like, but the rest of the movie was good. Like, yeah, but just that one thing, like, I thought it was going to happen and it didn't. Granted, like, people don't like She-Hulk for a plethora of reasons. I think some of them because they don't know any women in real life. But
pretty much,
you know, I think it's good, but that's like, that's not my job to tell other people that the stuff is good. It's just, again, half of the stuff from Phase 2 was awful. Like, not even like it was bad. It was awful. And like, a lot of the Phase 3 stuff was leading into the Infinity Saga. So like, all that ended in this giant explosion of awesomeness. And now you're kind of like, okay, well, what else do you have now? Like, well, you got to rebuild now. So now we're back at Phase 1, basically. Back at, like, Iron Man 1 was fantastic. Thor 1 was boring. Captain America 1 was boring. So like,
really? Then again,
Captain America 1 was very boring, especially if you watch all really? Three of them.
Like, I mean, maybe compared to this,
compared to them. Yes. So I remember watching it the first time it came out and I was like, man, this is so cool. I can't believe they're doing Captain America. And then you go back and watch it again and you're like,
Well, yeah, I think the
a lot of exposition.
I think the big thing that folks that are familiar with comics have to really grasp and understand about the MCU is that, besides the fact that there's a lot of liberal interpretation of canon when it comes to the movies and the characters, you know, because let's be honest, you know, talking about Captain America or World War II in the comics is a little bit different than trying to tell that story in the MCU in comparison to what you see afterward. Like Secret War, you know, the second Captain America movie by comparison,
it was fantastic. It was one of the best movies that the MCU has made.
You know, Hail Hydra, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
it's just, you know, and I think sometimes we, you know, if particularly those of us that are really into the landscape of comics, particularly for the MCU or for DC, we tend to forget that a little bit, you know, mm-hmm. although DC hasn't really given us any reason to be excited about the movie landscape for DC. Although I'm going to go out on a limb here and be very cautiously optimistic about this Black Adam release.
Yeah. I'm cautiously optimistic. I'm excited about that. Yeah, I think it might be pretty good.
Yeah. I just want Black Adam to somehow apprehend and detain Ezra Miller and put them into some kind of like stasis, the Phantom Zone, where there's a therapist or something. I just don't know what's going on. Like, I know we're getting off on a tangent. I wanted to real quick run down the list of things that has come out in Phase 4 just for people that are like, it sucked. I don't remember anything about it. Black Widow, Shang-Chi, Eternals, Spider-Man, Doctor Strange, Thor, and then Black Panther. That's coming out, and if it's not if it's not fantastic, I would be surprised. Like, if it's like, oh, it's good. I know it's good. You know, it's going to be good. If it's not fantastic, I'll be surprised, because for you have to then shift and write everything around the passing of Chad, like, and I understand there's a lot of people that were like, nah, just recast it. Just recast him. Like, let's not even pretend. Just pretend he didn't die and just recast it. That's a big ask. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, this isn't Batman where they keep, you know, killing his parents every 3 years. This is like, we've been in this thing. Like, Chad has been Black Panther since Captain America 3.
Yeah. And he's become synonymous with T'Challa, just like Robert Downey Jr. has become synonymous with Tony Stark. You know what I'm saying? So
if they just put like TJ Miller in the suit or something, and it's just the most random person I could think of, put him in the suit, just to put another white dude in the suit and make him, you know, charming and sarcastic, it's not going to happen. Like, people are going to be like, that's not Tony Stark. Who's this?
Yeah, real quick, while we're talking about this, coming up in the show, we got some pretty meaty topics to talk about. One specifically that kind of jumped out at me was Facebook, you know, aka Meta, is suing Chinese fake app makers for breaching over 1 million WhatsApp accounts. Now, if people haven't figured this out by now, some of these apps are bad security wise,
say the least,
you know, right. And that's a massive understatement. You know, that's one of the things we're going to be talking about. And we're going to be talking about the, you know, the Middle East, Persian, you know, the Persian Middle East countries kind of doing their thing again and cracking down on Netflix content, because, you know, they like to crack down on shit. Pardon my language. But, you know, we're going to be talking about those here in a minute. We're going to take our first little ad break, and then we're going to come back and talk about Google. Not just the Google, not just the recent event that they had, but just their penchant for just losing interest in anything that they normally put their hands on. So we'll be right back.
We all stand on the shoulders of those who came before us.
A Black future happens all the time. It's built on a foundation of those who have paved the way. A generation ago, All of this would have seemed unheard of. And what's new to the world now will be incomparable to what's coming up next. Trust your dream. The future is counting on it.
And we are back. Now, let's talk about these guys at Google. And before we talk about the Google event, let's talk about what Google is not doing, or the most recent project that they've lost interest in. And that is Stadia going the way of the dodo.
Or
the way of the Google Glass, right?
Actually, technically, Google
Glass. I know technically it still exists. I know that during the pandemic, I saw like there was a whole article about people getting Google Glasses and using them to do stupid stuff. Like during lockdown, they were just kind of like walking around. And
oh, really? I mean, I know it was used. It used a lot in construction or something like that, warehousing, mm-hmm. stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just really kind of done with Google right now. I really am. I mean, this was, you know, this whole thing with Stadia was kind of the last straw for me, because it's like anybody that's ever played Stadia, whether you liked the platform or you didn't, you had to admit that having a cloud-based service like that, that performed the way it did, was a pretty cool thing. And it was like, you know, you're thinking about, okay, well, what are we going to get off the store? And next thing you know, it's like, bye-bye store. You know, and, you know, in one fell swoop, you've, you know, created the problem of all your hardware, you know, all your hardware and peripherals becoming e-waste, you know, stuff like that. And it's just, yo, really, fam? I mean, are y'all like the Elon Musk of IT? I mean, of tech? I mean, what's that about? You know, what part of the game is that? I mean, I'm just trying to figure it out. Why do companies like that just lose interest in projects like that?
I think it was, I don't know if it was they lost interest or if it's like company culture or whatever. Because I mean, the sad thing is they had the best streaming service. That's right. The irony. They had the, at least as far as like raw performance, like they had the best streaming service. I was playing The Division 2 and it was like buttery smooth. At times you forget you're playing over the internet. That's how good it was. And so, like, I mean, you know, all, you know, props to NVIDIA, GeForce Now, and Microsoft xCloud or whatever. But Stadia, GeForce Now is pretty good. I will say that. But Stadia was top tier. But I think because they tried to use Stadia as a console replacement instead of either like a Netflix type thing or a console adjacent service like Microsoft is doing, I think that's where they kind of lost a lot of people, because it's like, I'm not going to pay $60 for a game that I can only play online, or, you know, that I can only play over the internet. So it's different from like digital purchases where at least I can download it to my PC or to my console, right, and play it offline. But yeah, that I think that was a big ask for some. For some people, they like that. I saw plenty of stories of people were like, I'm just going pure Stadia, right? You don't have to worry about, you know, $500 system, building a PC, any of that. That was the goal, right? Google pitched this as like, you don't have to do any of that. You just log in you just use Chrome and there you go, or any browser really. They had these cool features they were going to do where if you watched a YouTube video, if you watched like a review of like Madden or something like that, right? You could immediately hop into the game and play it. That was next level stuff, but they never did it. And
I think they always have good ideas. And I think even as I thought about like, okay, well, maybe I'll just, you know, I'll use my I always want to call this thing a MacBook Pro. My Windows Surface Pro, excuse me, to game. Like, my brother called me hysterically and was like, yo, all the seasons of Justice League Unlimited I had and Batman Beyond are gone. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, I bought all the stuff from HBO, Warner, whoever. And ever since whatever merger happened, all my stuff has gone out that library. And I thought about that. I was like, you know how pissed I would be if I went back to go play a game and it was gone after I had already paid for it?
Yeah.
I mean, granted, I'm not shelling out $60 for games like that. But even if I paid $10 for something and I came back to go find it and it was gone, or I have a bunch of stuff in my Epic library and if it was gone, I'd be super pissed. And I didn't pay for any of it.
Yeah, I'd be hot. You know, yeah. I just don't. I think that's the thing that kind of irks me the most about, you know, this abandonment of their customers.
Yeah, the whole website for it.
Yeah, that's because that's what it is. You know, you've got customers that have not just, you know, invested in the platform, but have brought titles off the platform that you can't readily transition over to other platforms because they're in that ecosystem. And it's like, what's that about? You know, I mean, that's Google will just be on some ADHD type stuff for tech. And it's just like, I'm not too happy about it. You know, I'm looking at the Google event that just happened on the 6th. And, you know, for lack of a better term, is, you know, pretty expected. They, you know, went over to Pixel 7, the Pixel 7 Pro and the Google Pixel Watch, as well as just how they kind of interact with each other in Google's ecosystem. And, you know, I gotta admit, first, I'm a Pixel user, so I love the Pixel. You know, I think the Pixel has been one of the more consistent cell phone platforms out there, you know.
Last year was a little shaky, but we're not going to talk about it.
Just a little bit. But, you know, I'm willing to let that slide because their track record is kind of, you know, has been pretty good to that point. The Pixel 7 looks to be the same type of deal. You know, they've got an upgraded Tensor chip in it. You know, it's a lot of the same capabilities and a lot more integration with other products, you know, on the Google landscape. You know, I actually like the Google Wear options that are out there, you know, although Google Wear, depending on who manufactures the watch or the wearable, can be great or it can be trash. And if you're getting something from Fossil or something that's custom made to house that OS, great. But if you're getting something that you don't recognize, beware. don't do it, man. Reconsider.
I'm still mad at Samsung for always trying to do their own crap, because like, as much as I love this thing, the Gear 2, and I've had it for forever, I love it, but I hate, like, the, I don't want to, like, I never want to be anywhere in public and be like, hello, Bixby, and wait for something because, oh, it actually worked this time, because it normally doesn't work, but of course, the time I'm on camera, it works. I just liked the Wear OS, and sometimes I go pick up my old gear that I got 6 years ago, and I put it on. It's super slow. But it works so much better. Like, the actual software works so much better than the software on this newer Samsung watch. And sometimes I just be like, man, y'all just stop. Stop with the whatever you guys thought you were. You guys make fantastic hardware. We all know that it's great stuff. But the best Samsung phones used to be the Google editions, without all the extra Samsung crap on there, because I didn't want to have to get Subway Surfers and stuff on my old phones, like, especially because, you know, like, a gig of RAM was a big deal at that time, and, you know, once Subway Surfers loaded up and you lost 10% of your battery just waiting for it to load, you know, like, then you couldn't do anything afterwards and it was making your phone hot. But I think that Google's thing is that they have the privilege and they have the money, obviously, and like they have the capability. So like, if they want to do whatever they want to do, they're going to do it. Because what are you going to tell them? No, you're like Google. Like, nah, I don't think that sounds like a good idea. They're like, oh, okay. Remember how you didn't think having a search engine was a good idea? Remember you thought Ask Jeeves was the best we could do? MapQuest? Remember that stuff? No, of course you don't. Because I erased all that crap because I'm better. So, like, at this point, Google can say, like, we're going to make, you know, ankle weights that'll teach you how to walk again or something like that. And I'd be like, okay, how much is it? I'm interested. Like, I don't really care about the end game that you're trying to get here, but I trust you guys to at least make something interesting. And it, once you realize that's run its course, or even sometimes before they've run its course, what was that, Google Plus?
Yep. Their supposed social network.
Yeah, it was fantastic. The interface was great, but no one was on it, so it was kind of stupid. Yeah, I used to go on there to get watch faces. And those communities were good, but anyway, I'm super excited about the Pixelware. I don't know if I'm gonna buy it immediately or if I'm gonna wait, but it looks great. Like everything about it, I know they've been teasing a watch for like 3, 4, 5 years at this point, I think.
Yeah. So,
I mean, it better be good at this point.
Well, see, here's my only problem with it. So two things. One, kind of going along with what you said, Google is probably the only tech company right now that can get the closest to matching Apple as far as having a cohesive ecosystem, right? Like, I mean, mm-hmm. as much Apple as I am, I still, my smart home is Google, right? I use Nest, right? And like, they're the closest, and they can do it, which is why I really want this to succeed. I really want Google to actually provide an alternative ecosystem, like complete ecosystem for people to buy into that's not Apple, right? And so the problem is, like, the Pixel Watch is $350, I think it starts at $350. Yeah, but the problem is the Apple Watch SE and the Galaxy Watch Pro or the Galaxy Watch, they both start at like $200, like or $250 or something like that. I'm like, and they're more powerful. The Apple Watch SE is way more powerful than the Pixel Watch. And I'm like, I don't know if they should be launching it at that price, but we'll see. we'll see how it goes. But I kind of, so, and also related to Stadia, right? I think some people are kind of wary of buying into the whole Pixel ecosystem because they're like, is Google just going to kill it?
I think that's the fear now that with as schizophrenic as Google is when it comes to these pet projects, I mean, that to me, that's the fear. You know, I want to go get some refurbished Pixel Buds, but I don't want to do that now because I'm like, dude.
Apple Watch SE is $250.
Yeah,
it's on sale right now for $199.
Yeah. See,
but you know, like to me, that does me no good because what am I going to do with an Apple Watch with two Android phones?
True, an Apple Watch is way more useful if you have an iPhone. It's not really that useful by itself.
Yeah, man, and I mean, like I said, we're not even going to get into some of the bigger items in that ecosystem, like the Pixel Book and things of that nature. I'm just like,
they canceled it. Remember, they actually got rid of the Pixel Book. Yeah. But I'll say this, right? So it was the watch and the Pixel 7, but they also announced, which I think is the best product, one of the best products that they announced, was their tablet, right? But it's not like a regular old tablet. Like, you can use it like a regular tablet, but it comes with the base. So you hook it onto the base, and now it's like a giant Google Home. And you can use it like a smart home hub or whatever. I have the smaller one in my in our kitchen. We only use it for like timers and stuff, but it's there. But I thought that was smart. That was, and the way they explained it, how like most people who have tablets, they don't really use it all the time. Like, they'll pick it up and they'll use it maybe like for a few minutes or something, then they'll put it down, and then like that's it, right? So then why not extend the capability of it by using it as a tablet when you want to, and then using it as a regular smart display when you're not using it? I think that was genius right there. I was almost tempted to get it, actually. And I was like, that's great. We need more of that.
They have great ideas.
Apple should have done that a long time ago with the iPad.
Yeah. Yeah. They have great ideas. And I also think, like, the Pixel Book, I mean, there's so many Chromebooks that kind of already, like, I was trying to call a restaurant yesterday from my work computer, and I was like, it was like, click on the number. And I clicked on the number, and it was like dialing from Samsung phone, last used. And I was like, huh? I didn't even know that I had that set up or whatever. But apparently, since I was using my Chrome account on my work computer to look it up, like, it automatically went to my phone, and my phone, like, vibrated, and I went and looked, and it was like, click here to call. I was like, oh, okay. I mean, that's basic, and I didn't know I can do that. I always, like, right-click on the screen and then send that web page to my phone if I wanted something. So I guess it, in that way, it kind of already, like, the Chrome part of it kind of already works across everything from, like, your laptop to your phone to your TV, whatever you want to Chromecast.
I told you, they can do it. They can rival Apple. They can rival Apple if they really want to.
It's just that thing of Google was like, nah, we're not going to be making hardware. Like, we just want to, like, Samsung and HTC are not, we, our partnership with them is so great. We don't want to, like, mess that up. So that's going to be our big deal. Like, everybody's going to have the same software, but you can pick whatever hardware you want. And obviously we saw how that went. like, everybody was all over the place, especially, like, selling cell phones for so long, like those little Kyocera phones all those little, like, crappy phones running the exact same software as the Android, the Samsung and the HTC One. Those were, like, the big first phones. And I remember they had I think it was the second generation Galaxy phone that had, like, the 4.3-inch screen that we thought was, like, the biggest screen of all time. you know, like, it's hard to do that, even though, like, Apple is really trying to do it. But their fragmentation is very much, like, classism rather than fragmentation. It's just like, oh, well, if you've got the new iPhone 14 Pro Max, you can do this. But if you still have the iPhone 7, like, that's your fault. And they're like, oh, that's fragmentation. Like, no. That's a decision that you've made to not upgrade. So, like, you can't use this thing because, you know, you just don't have the right hardware for it. Our software is impeccable. You just don't have the right thing to use it. And I think it's very much about delivery. And if Google wanted to do it, they definitely could. But we know Apple is very much, as Steve Jobs' daughter has said, like, Apple is very much slow moving. And more reliable about things. Like, if they added a feature, you're probably gonna have that feature for 5 or 6 generations before they make a new thing.
I just think they Google just needs to do a completely better job of engaging their customers along those lines, if they are serious about getting people to buy in long term, you know, on projects like that. And I think, you know, I mean, it's a very, that's one thing that Apple does well. We clown Apple a whole lot about, you know, being the hive mind of technology. But, you know, what they do well. And people are comfortable in that ecosystem because everything they do is very intuitive. And it's very easy for users to acclimate to.
After Android beta tests it for 2 cycles and then they pick it up and perfect it, you know, it's a smart way to do things. I would do the same thing if I was them. Like, why would I add Wi-Fi calling out the gate and it be shaky just to say I was first? And then when I do it now, like, Samsung has already done it. Their phones have blown up. I know what not to do. So now I can do it. And everybody's like, dang, boy, you know, like, their phones aren't exciting anymore, but I'll be damned if it ain't consistent. Like, I know every time I pick my phone up, it's going to work.
Yep. Unless you
miss it. Until a new one comes out.
Yeah, unless you miss an update.
That's what I got. See, for some reason, I don't know if anyone else has this problem, but for some reason, whenever I update my iPhone, for some reason, I lose more and more compatibility with cables, like my charging cables. Like, I can't use the ones in my wife's car. I've tested 2 of them. I'm like, why can't I charge my phone? One of them is the official Apple cable. Why can't I use your cable, Apple? And it's so stupid. I'm like,
That cable, we found out that that cable messed up other phones in like 3% of the cases. So we just wrote some script to make that not work anymore. And like Samsung does that too. Like my cable at my office, which I haven't been to in forever, like after like a year or two of not being in my office, I went back and plugged my phone up and it was like slow charging. It was like, it was at 50%. It'll be charged in 7 hours. And I was like, what? I unplugged it and plugged it back in. I went and Googled it and they were like, yeah, that cable's not, like, you can't use that anymore. You gotta go.
Am I missing something? Like, why are they doing this? Like, what is there something? I don't know. I'm not.
Somebody didn't pay up.
I don't know.
Well, we're upon our second ad break here real quick. Before we go to break, you know, I just want to give listeners out there a heads up that we're going to be adding some new components to our show probably before the new year. One of those components includes a call-in line, which means that if you're watching the show on HBCU Digital or YouTube or any of our platforms, and you see that nice shiny number scroll across the bottom, call in and ask questions, and you know, because we want more engagement with our audiences. But when we get back, we are going to talk about, you know, Meta hitting the court, and we're going to be talking about the struggles of Netflix in the Middle East. Stay tuned.
Yeah, baby, you know what time it is. Now let's get it started. Are you kidding me? Unreal!
While our HBCUs are mostly known for academic rigor, community, they also know how to turn up.
Does he have it? Yes, he does!
And we are back. Now, I'm going to preface this segment by stating that you shouldn't be downloading apps from, you know, the App Store or whatever platform you're on if you don't know what the apps are or if you don't have any familiarity with the apps. You're right. You're downloading at your own peril if you do. So if you get some sort of malicious code that turns your cell phone or your laptop into, you know, something that you'd rather forget, then that's on you. That being said, Facebook is kind of taking the bull by the horns in terms of customer security for their data with these apps and app environments. And essentially, they're taking Chinese fake, you know, app makers to court. You know, I mean, now, for those of you guys that aren't familiar with what these guys kind of duplicate, you know, they duplicate stuff like TikTok, WhatsApp, you know, pretty much all the popular apps that young folks that don't really care about all this stuff use. And, you know, Facebook is like, yeah, this is kind of losing us business. So, you know, we're taking y'all to court. Now, just to kind of put this in perspective, Meta security team has revealed that the company has uncovered some 400 different mobile apps devoted to stealing Facebook user login information. Think about that for a minute. 400 different apps. You know, and we talk about, you know, we give Meta or slash AKA Facebook, you know, their alias, you know, the mama called them Facebook. I'm gonna call them Facebook. But it makes you think twice about going on social platforms like Facebook or LinkedIn or any number of platforms and putting too much data out there. You know, it's always been a problem, but now in this day and age and in this climate, it's crazy. You know,
I wonder if you, so I was reading the one of the articles about it, and they were the suit that they filed in San Francisco, the U.S. District Court in San Francisco. It was saying that after victims installed the malicious applications, they were prompted to enter their WhatsApp credentials, The defendants programmed the malicious applications to communicate the users' credentials to WhatsApp's computers and obtain the users' account keys and authentication information. So, yeah, basically the lesson here is don't download. And the sad thing is, it was even on, they were on the Google Play Store, right? Normally you would tell someone don't download an app unless it's on the official store. It was on the official store. Now you have to add to don't download it unless it's, you can confirm it's from actually Facebook or Meta or whatever.
Like, it's the how long has like the Google Play Store been letting, again, it goes back into the freedom and vulnerability are kind of like a two sides of the same sword here, but like it's, Google's been in that situation for a couple of years. It's been, I know, at least since I was working at T-Mobile and selling the Galaxy S2, you know what I mean? Like, it's been it's been a minute since you go online, I mean, go on the Google Play Store and download. I mean, they used to have stuff like what was it called? MP3 Spy or MP3 Guy or something like that, where you can go on there and type in any song and download the MP3 to your phone immediately. And there was no checks or balance. There was no, like, I don't know how they were getting the thing. I don't know where it was coming from. I don't know. But I know that I didn't have to pay for the Jay-Z album when I got it. So that was all I cared about. And I was like, this is good quality too. Now I'm going to turn it into a ringtone because, you know, back then we used to actually like to hear our phones ring. Not so much now. But I just feel like at some point you download an app and you put in all your user information. Like, hell, I have the MetaQuest Oculus thing. And even when they're like, hey, you want me to give Facebook your information? I'm like, no. And they're like, dude, Facebook made this thing. And I'm like, yeah, I know, but still, no. They're like, you don't want to be with your friend? No, I just want to play games. Okay, stop asking me for other stuff.
They have changed that now. Yeah. Now you don't need a Facebook account.
I swear to God, I was like setting it up and it was like, you're so excited to use it and you're wearing the thing and it's like 40 minutes of Facebook questions and you're like, Mark, leave me alone and let me fake box somebody in a drunken bar fight game. Why can't you see this is what I want to do?
Yeah.
But I think at some point you got to use a little bit of common sense and caution. But I mean, this is also why they are making like Fortnite skin generators or like Fortnite money bucks generators or whatever the heck, those type of things are in the game store. And they're like, hey, $1.99 for the app. And then you can go on there and click some buttons and it'll give you random codes for you to put in to get V-Bucks or whatever they're called. And kids are going to download that and they're not going to think about it twice. They're like, hey, it's $1.99 and I can save $20 of V-Bucks. I'll do it. Cool. But when adults are doing it, and again, we all work in IT, so we understand that even the adults at work, they're like getting an email that says, like, this is from Chipotle and it's spelled like C-H-I-P-O-L-A-T-A or A-Y or something. And you're like, Chipotle? Oh, free burrito? Oh. All I gotta do is enter my email address. Sure, I'll do that. Click this link.
Just click.
They're clicking that link, man, to get that free burrito. So, like, I don't even know who to blame at this point. And I mean, but Facebook is doing, I guess, the best thing they can do is just like, let's just find the idiots that are making the other idiots download the thing and let's stop them. I mean, nothing against China, but the Tesla factory been in China for like 2 years, and now China's churning out Model 3 replicas like left and right that aren't. And Elon Musk is like, come on, man, y'all don't see this? This looks exactly like the Model 3. And they're like, no, it doesn't. Model 3 has like lights like this, ours are lights like that. It's completely different. Yeah, it's the same battery and drivetrain, but not like we stole your schematics from the Tesla Gigafactory in China.
And I got to say this as a side, you know, as somebody that's worked tech support, you know, and service users, and I'm trying to be as nice as possible because I know there are plenty of users that are out there listening that might take offense to where's the banner at? Let me put this banner.
Y'all stupid. That's what it, I'm just kidding.
And Dave, you beat me to the banner, dude. I got to put the banner up first. All right. Now that the banner's up, we in tech support, or we who have been designated to be tech support for family, friends, colleagues, business, clients, and everybody else in between, we cannot think for you before you make that click. So when you see that nice shiny button or hyperlink in your email or any other correspondence that you might get, we want you to think before you click. We can't tell you to think. That which should be something that should come naturally. Like you think about what you want on your menu for lunch or for dinner, you know. But part of the problem that we have with security issues like this, with these apps, is that there's a lot of social engineering built into the attraction of these apps, mainly convenience, novelty, and the fact that it looks really, really shiny and cool. So, ooh, let's try it. You know, so it's one of those things where you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. If you're working to really, you know, get ahead of the curve against these threats, you know, for whatever, you know, marketplace or environment you're working in or serve as security in. And, you know, I think everybody pretty much knows that social media landscape is like the Wild Wild West when it comes to stuff like that. Particularly places like Facebook. You know, a lot less these days than back in the day, but, you know, I mean, back in the day you had, you know, terrorist organizations just flat out, you know, running message boards on Facebook, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And those guys,
I mean, they still were up until January 6th.
So. Yeah, exactly. But I think, you know, when we look at stories like this, you know, it tells a lot about how much more vigilant we have to become when it comes to technology and being good stewards of technology, particularly information technology. You know, this kind of this kind of provides a segue for us into the next part of this topic. You know, Netflix has traditionally had issues with countries in the Middle East, you know, about content. And, you know, the morality of content amongst those, you know, those societies and communities. And, you know, again, Netflix has kind of run up against a ban, you know, from 6 countries for what those countries deem as immoral or questionable content on their platform. And at some point, you got to really think, if you're Netflix, okay, is this really worth extending our services to those environments? Because if this is the type of blowback that we're going to get, is it really worth it? You know, and I think that's something that you have to really think about. You know, not everybody can get NordVPN and like hit up Netflix, you know, in the United Arab Emirates or in Dubai, you know what I'm saying, or in Saudi Arabia. So, you know, what's the solution for folks that are obviously in those countries and like consuming Netflix and platforms like it? Because it's not just Netflix, but even though Netflix is kind of the topic.
Disney Plus is on there too for a lot of places. I mean, a lot of content that's getting banned, which is so weird to me to even think that, like, you're banning Disney? Like, now? I mean, like, yes, the racist comics, I mean, cartoons that they had back in the day, like, I kind of get it, even though everybody was like, oh, that's just good stuff. But now? Like, is it because in that one thing, that girl kissed another girl or something? Like, it's always confusing to me because I think, like, the Middle East and Middle America both have, like, the same level of weird hangups about things. Where you're like, I don't want to see two gay men kissing, but you know, like a TV show about a kid like shooting people in a school, like I think my kids need to watch that so they understand. Like, no, they don't really need to watch either thing unless you say they need to watch it. But what your kid can and can't watch does not constitute the need for you to change legislation about what everyone else needs to watch. And yeah. I mean, I get it. In America, there's slightly more freedom than a lot of these other countries that are like I know in China, there's stuff that don't fly.
Yeah. I mean, it's one thing to do, you know, it's one thing to kind of ban things here, but like over there, I mean, like I'm looking at the article now from on BBC, and yeah, it was. I mean, it's basically over, you know, content that has, you know, the LGBTQ stuff in mm-hmm. it, right? So like they banned Lightyear because there was a same sex kiss. You know, there's a one of the shows, Jurassic World Camp Cretaceous, has two teenage girls kissing or confess they love each other and kiss, right? So I mean that's. But these are Islamic nations, right? They're way more religiously governed than over here because we have more, like you said, we have a little bit more freedom. So I mean, yeah. You know, it is what it is over there, like, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I'm like thinking, you know, they're like, well, we don't like that because that's like a bad look, and I'm like, yeah. When did y'all start letting your women drive and vote and stuff? Like, when did...
Where's that disclaimer?
I mean, I just want to know, like, where... Like, again, I think sometimes... I think sometimes when you let heterosexual men rule and make ideas about, I just want things to be the way that they are in my house, and that's the only way they should be, you're never going to come out, like... with any kind of equality, because there's always going to be somebody left out. And I say that like fully understanding that the majority of the civil rights stuff that we got here in America was largely co-opted by white women to get them to move forward on a lot of things. And I'm okay with that. Like I'm a advocate for equality, and I'm an advocate for everybody getting to, like, their piece of the pie. Like, I'm not really cool on I'm sure there's going to be some white men dressed up as Jeffrey Dahmer because they're idolizing him and missing the point of the whole thing. And I'm going to completely ignore that because I understand that when you want to make this inclusive omelet, you're going to have some stupid eggs that's going to fall on the stove and get burnt. But it's not because this is the same argument that I'm like, why are y'all so mad about Ariel being black? It's a fictitious thing, and like, it's based on a thing that's based on a thing that's based on a thing. Like, why do you even care? And I know that having her be in there is not more important than having little black girls see Michelle Obama or Serena Williams or anybody like that. But it's, like, why not? Why can't there be black people in Lord of the Rings and Game of Thrones and Harry Potter? Like, why not?
Yeah, I never got that. To me, it's just kind of like, dude, we're talking about fantasy, sci-fi, yeah. genres that are supposed to be gender and race bending in general. So,
yeah. Especially fantasy. Fantasy always got me.
Especially like, fantasy.
These are people. You have orcs, elves, hobbits, mm-hmm. angels, wizards. Like, I think the wizards are angels, but like, yeah. what?
Yeah, like and please, I've seen your Twitter fanfics. Like, there's a lot of worse things there. Like, I've seen all these guys doing things to orcs that are not appropriate for any time at all. Like, I know what you guys are doing.
Podcast is a family friendly podcast.
Like, again, I've seen the pictures that you guys have drawn of She-Hulk. Okay. So, like, please get off the moral high ground here, okay? Like, that's not it. If I was a member of the LGBTQ plus community, I would be just as adamant about me. Like, I'm sure in The Little Mermaid, there's going to be two male mermen holding hands, and somebody's going to want to set the theater on fire. And I'm like, if this is for everybody, let it be for everybody. Like, I don't want to... I don't want to be that guy that's like, I want Black people and Latin people and Indian people and Asian people to have their time in the sun. But as long as they're straight and they're Christian and like they have the same values that I have, I don't care what color they are, as long as they're just me with a different skin on, like, then I'm okay with it. So like, I think if I was in that community, I would be like, yo, so what about me? Like, okay, so I see that there's a Black man on this show and he's obviously like there for comic relief and then he gets killed in the first scene. But like, what about there being a Black queer man that's on the show that's actually clever and is not just there to like, you know, design a dress for one of the other characters? You know, like,
the only thing I can kind of see or understand the perspective of, right, rather, is more so people who don't like when established characters are just like twisted into if Sam Wilson, right, if Captain America Steve Rogers was suddenly a Black man, right, not Sam Wilson, like, mm-hmm. Steve Rogers was a Black man. I think that's the problem. Some Black people actually have, and I follow a lot of Black blurred groups on Facebook, and I've seen a lot of people express that opinion that, like, how come we can't create original or promote original Black characters like Miles Morales, right? He's a great Spider-Man. He doesn't have to be Peter Parker. He can be Miles Morales, right? So yeah. Like, I can understand that viewpoint where, why does Ariel have to be Black when she's traditionally been white? Why can't there be another mermaid in the Little Mermaid universe that's Black? And why does it have? Why does Ariel have to be? I can understand it. I won't say I technically agree, but I can understand it and see that perspective, right?
Yeah, I think I would be more upset if they made digital Ariel, like if they just redrew the cartoon and made her Black, because Haley, I was about to call her Halle Berry, because Haley was because Haley was doing her voice. If she genuinely is the best actress for the job with the best singing voice, and they were like, hey, we weren't planning on making it a Black Little Mermaid because I think she's the only Black person in the entire movie, but like, if we weren't making it a Black Little Mermaid, she was just the best option. And like, her dad is still going to be white. And somehow her mom is, because I think the Little Mermaid's mom was already dead when the movie started. So we're just like, oh, she was Black. And then now this Ariel is half Black. Case closed. We don't have to explain it anymore. I think the hard part is trying to make original Black characters be as, I guess, as impactful to the rest of the world. Because when I think Black Panther, the movie was so good that I know a lot of people were like, well, I wasn't really going to watch it, but I saw that Hulk was in it and stuff, so I wanted to watch it. And then I was like, dang, this is really good. Because I didn't really want to see a Black movie. You know, like, I don't really like Black movies. And this is the people in the blurred groups. And I'm like, but you're Black. Like, Black movies, do you only think of, like, Tyler Perry when you think of Black movie? Like, there's nothing else that comes to you? You don't like any of them, but
the irony is that we need more movies like Black Panther. Like, I'm personally tired of slave movies. I don't really care to see another slavery movie. But I will watch sci-fi Black movie. I will watch Nope. Right?
The Woman King was fantastic. Yeah, I mean, it did have some slavery in it, but The Woman King was fantastic. And I know they rewrote history a little bit. I'm okay with that.
Definitely,
that wasn't focused on it though. Like, that wasn't the focus of the movie.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I think, you know, there are movies out there for pretty much every taste, you know what I'm saying? So me personally, you know, particularly when it comes to movies for us, every movie that's well done and that is, you know, that's accurate or takes creative license, you know, I'm with, you know, me personally. If you're getting something from the movie, and sometimes that may be a reaction that might not necessarily be positive, but, you know, I think the biggest thing for me, particularly when we're talking about, you know, and I think we need to really differentiate between what we see in terms of science fiction and in terms of what we see, you know, in terms of talking about history and even fictional things that we talk about as it relates to real history, because having those conversations when those conversations are part of the fabric of, you know, what we see on a regular basis. You know what I'm saying?
Can we respond to Keith Hadley real quick?
Go ahead.
Because I feel like here's the problem, Keith. Big K, if I can call you that. The problem comes is that every time there's a black character,
wait a minute, I gotta make sure you got the banner up first. All right,
the banner's rolling. Yeah, their existence has to be justified. Like, you can't just have T'Challa exist. You can't just have Storm exist. You can't just have Miles Morales exist. Like, none of these people can exist without their existence being deeply rooted in blackness. There is no way that you could have a white person be T'Challa in a African nation that was hidden away purposely to hide this nation of all their riches and wealth for everything to happen, like everything else, like the Gold Coast, the Ivory Coast, the Slave Coast. All those things were named after the things that people raped and pillaged out of Africa. So Storm can't be white because she's an African goddess. Now, maybe they can make her a girl from Madison, Ohio or something, and she could just magically just control the weather. Cool. But that can't be Storm. T'Challa can't be white because why would he be an African king? Miles Morales, there's already a Peter Parker. Luke Cage was a man that was wrongfully convicted and shot at. That would never happen to a white man. So, like, all these things are deeply rooted in that person being black. You know what I mean? Like, you can't do it. You know, like, again, I'm trying to think of a black person, a black character that's just black.
I am literally looking for the laugh out loud emoji right here. I wish StreamYard had that right now, but you don't.
John Stewart is the only the first character I can think of that just happens to be black, even though in the comic book he deals with a lot of racism before he becomes a Lantern. So it's very hard for me to even consider, like, even the new Catwoman being black, her blackness had nothing to do with the story. At all. You know what I mean? So, like, I think that's the hard part is, like, whenever these comic book characters were created and they were like, okay, here's Black Lightning. Like, why is he black? Well, he's black because he was in a town that's completely overrun by Negro hoodlumism. And he stepped up and he has this whole air of, like, the talented 10th mentality, respectable politics. Like, he's that guy that's trying to get his community into shape, and he just happened to gain this power. And now he's one of the good ones that's trying to fight to make that community palatable for white people.
Yeah. And
you
I
can't
think
make that character white.
And I think that goes a long way. You know, we're going to close things out after this, but I think that goes a long way to knowing, you know, the origins of these stories, particularly when it comes to comics and remakes and movies. Like, a lot of what Roberto was talking about is absolutely spot on in terms of the stories that these comics take place in terms of time period, in terms of, you know, some of them are origin stories. I know, Adam Brashear, who is the Blue Marvel in alternate universe for Marvel, you know, that starts back in World War II. The dude was a superhero, fighting on behalf of the Allies until folks figured out that he was black. And Robert Kennedy was like, yeah, we need you to retire. You know, there are so many examples of those types of, you know, societal conversations within comics and by proxy within movies. So, you know, we have
and also it would make sense for them to experiment on a black man with the super soldier serum before they tried it on white people, because that's what they used to do with everything. They would cut and stab us and drug us to figure out stuff before they put it to white people. But go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Isaiah Bradley, I think is the name.
Yeah, and before we close out, I'll leave with this. I think, you know, a lot of us, when we watch these shows, particularly as it relates to other cultures and other societies, we have to take things with a grain of salt. You know, we have to really think about, you know, what the cultural norms are in other parts of the world. We look at platforms like Netflix and what's shown on Netflix or any other streaming platform. Like I said, there are a lot of things that we can talk about here that, or in the West, or not even just in the West, in general. In some countries, they're really touchy about that too. So I don't want to, you know, generalize that to a region of the world. But we have to be very cognizant of those things, because if we're not, you know, we tend to start really looking at things through a certain type of lens, because that's what our experience with what a cultural norm is. So, you know, I mean, in closing, you know, I think we all can learn from that stuff. And I think we can all, you know, look at what Netflix is going through in the Middle East is kind of like, that's kind of the cost of doing business. You know what I'm saying? So, but that being said, I am being tapped by our overlords to bring this show to a close. Our views are not necessarily the views of HBCU Digital Network, so I'm still going to take this banner down, because, you know, Roberto just kind of blew up that point. For everybody that's been following us on the Black Techies podcast, thank you very much. Big shout out to the HBCU esports community that's out there. Big shout out to, you know, our other colleagues on HBCU Digital Network, the Fangs Up podcast, you know, Florida A&M University, following Florida A&M football. There are a couple of other really, really compelling things coming to HBCU Digital in the future that you'll have to wait out, you know, just stay tuned for it. I can't talk about yet. But until next time, for myself, for Roberto, for our leader emeritus, David Pacastile Matthews, thank you guys, and hail Wakanda.
Hail Wakanda.